Thank you, Lord, for this time.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We love to be in the applied oneness.
Amen.
The triune God to our being.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give me this time.
Amen.
You apply yourself into our being.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to be fully one.
Amen.
One here with one another.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, add more of yourself to us.
Amen.
Oh, anoint us into the divine oneness.
Amen. Amen.
We receive you.
Amen.
Process one.
Amen.
The do.
Amen.
Anointment.
Amen.
The open.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, paint us in this time.
Amen.
Open to you.
Amen.
More adding of your element.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. This morning, this afternoon, we are open to you.
Amen.
Lord, paint us.
Amen.
Process and consummated yes. Triune God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What a mercy it is to be here.
Amen.
Pray that we could follow the flock.
Amen.
Follow the euthanizing taking place in Taiwan.
Amen.
Speak these things.
Amen.
Enter into them.
Amen.
Consecrate the next 30 days.
Amen.
To pray them into us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, brothers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we do know that some do need to catch flights back, and so we like to just have a family fellowship together, and so if you need to leave to catch a flight, don't hesitate at all if you need to go ahead and go. And we wanted to just begin by opening up the purpose of this time, as well as giving a little bit of the history of the burden for this time. And maybe we could just say from the very outset, the burden of this time is not to have another message meeting. It's really in the nature of having a family fellowship together.
Amen.
With regard to the particular burden of caring for the young adults in the church life, that they could enter into a vital living and service amidst the responsibilities that we know so many have. And maybe I could just give kind of a little agenda for the time. I'll speak a little opening word just so that anyone who has not yet heard of this burden or does not know how this burden came about would have a clear understanding of the burden. Then afterwards, Brother Mark New and Brother David Yoon will speak a little word that also conveys this burden in a living way. And I believe just some of the points are very helpful. And then after that, I believe Brother Andrew will be here. There he is. He's in the back. And we also have some brothers from Taiwan, and we're very desirous that this time could be a time of fellowship. And Brother Dan is here. Okay, good. That there could be some more fellowship to all of us.
Amen.
And maybe I would also say, just in the nature of 1 Timothy 4:16, where it says, "Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things. For in doing so, you save both yourselves and those who hear you."
Amen.
And so, brothers, we just really, we like to first consider ourselves. I believe many of us are working, some here, maybe serving full time. But this fellowship, firstly, is to help all of us enter into a vital living and service in the church life. Also, to answer the question which has been asked to me and probably several of the brothers, how did the invite for this time take place? And maybe just to give you in a very simple way, Living Stream gave us permission to have the roster and the list of those who came to the ITERO, and about eight of us brothers, with not much time, sent some emails out to several of you and encouraged those who asked, just come to the time. And so the fellowship of this time is for the entire body of Christ.
Amen.
And it's for the benefit of all of us. So we just mentioned that this is not an exclusive time. This is a time to help all the working saints, all the young adults, all the young graduate students, and all who are in this category, which is a loosely defined category of saints who are endeavoring to live the church life.
Amen.
And to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So just in a brief way, as far as the history of this burden of caring for the young adults, this burden has developed in a more intensified way over the last 3 or 4 years. And on December 29th, during the winter training, a meeting was held with all the former full-timers, in which about 400 attended, half of whom were serving and about half of whom were not serving. And during that time, Brother Andrew Yu mentioned that there is the need to give more attention to a growing number of saints who either they graduated from college but did not go to the training, or they went to the training and they're not serving, or they are serving. Nevertheless, there's the deep desire. The encouragement to put it on my tie. We hope so many brothers would speak, and we'll be passing the microphone around. So in the nature of a family fellowship, depending on time, with so many, whether it's those from, you know, Athens, and we have some from the East Coast, we hope there could be a response and a mutual fellowship together.
Amen.
But there's a growing number of a category of saints that are yearning, longing, and wondering how to function in the church life. And Brother Andrew also mentioned that we have the young people's work, we have the children's work, we have the college work, and we also have the full-time training. And as one brother mentioned, this could be considered a pipeline in which the saints are cared for according to their progress in their schooling and in their church life and growth. But an amazing statistic was mentioned in that fellowship, that 95% of the saints are not in that pipeline. Or if they are in the pipeline, they don't end up in that category. So even ones who serve full time, there is an insignificant number of saints who still go back to graduate school and go back to work. And so the feeling was there is a real need to give more attention to this category of saints. Brothers, how do you feel about this?
Amen.
Don't you feel that there's the need in all of our localities for this category of saints to receive the practical help of how to come into their function? In a brief way, I'd like to just relay the fellowship that came out in that December 29th time, and then two follow-on fellowships that came out. One on February 2nd, where Brother Andrew had a time with the young adults in Anaheim, and then one on February 6th, where Brother Minoru also had some fellowship with those in Irvine. For the fellowship on December 29th, this particular striking comment and sentence was read and spoken. Those who have gone to the training need a way to follow their commitment. The correct word is consecration. They need to serve. And I am not talking about serving full time.
I am talking about giving oneself to serving. And not just being in the church life in a general way. And then this was quite striking and very helpful to me. If they do not give themselves to serve in some way, eventually they will go out of the church life. And I think we've seen that there are a good number that because they went to the training and or others who consecrated themselves, something was imparted into them to live a life with a purpose and to live a life with a definite goal. And yet they may be struggling in the church life. And whether the obstacle is a practical obstacle, family life, boss, exhaustion, juggling both the church life and busy schedules, or whether the obstacle is conceptual, feeling like because I'm not full-time, I'm not of the body. We know that's not according to the truth. It's not because I'm not an eye that I am not of the body. Actually, we are all indispensable, functioning members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
But whatever the obstacle, brothers, we have to admit, some of the saints are facing challenges and are crying out for some real help in order to know how to overcome these obstacles. And in the fellowship on December 29th, it was encouraged that we face these obstacles together. And that we, in this category of saints, begin to pray together, to fellowship together, to research the ministry together, and to address these challenges and obstacles so that we could enter into a vital living. Even the example was given of a Colosseum where there's beasts. Sometimes we feel this way in the midst of our work life. We're just in the middle of a Colosseum and different tigers are coming at us. We have to face these tigers.
Amen.
Oh, there's giants in the land, but they are our food.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By addressing these obstacles and by fellowshipping about them and considering, even in a prayerful research and development kind of way, of how to get through the obstacles, we believe so many saints could be helped. And Brother Andrew mentioned having received the number of 2,500 saints having graduated from the training. He mentioned he hopes this burden would spread. And so really, this meeting is a continuation of that meeting. Brothers, we hope the desire and the practical help of being vital in the churches would spread to all the saints across the recovery, not only in America, but across the whole world.
Amen.
And then just briefly, I'd just like to mention this. And again, I just read off of the portion that was in the December 29th time. The living of the young saints at present is not up to standard. What is it to have a vital living? 7 points. It's to have a scheduled living. It's to have a quiet time with the Lord in the morning, morning revival. It's to pursue the truth. Number four, it's to have companion prayer. Number five, it's to contact others, to care for them. Six, to go to all the church meetings. And seven, to be sanctified in our finances. And then I just conclude the last two fellowships. On February 2nd, there was a fellowship based on Watchman Nee's message on drifting and on leaking. And in that fellowship, it was pointed out, why do the saints leak the things of Christ? And why do they drift? And the reason Watchman Nee points out is it's because the saints do not have a goal in their life. And so there's nothing in front of them. There's nothing behind them. As a result, they just go in circles. So Brother Andrew encouraged the saints to have a short-term spiritual goal and to ask someone to check them with regard to that goal. Then on February 6th, Brother Minoru took two other words. In addition to leaking and drifting, from 2 Peter, the words idle and unfruitful. And a key portion in that message was a question he asked, why are some saints fruitful and some saints are not fruitful? And I'd encourage anyone who has the burden to listen to that message. And I won't go through all the 5 points, but the first reason was this matter of adding all diligence. That we become fruitful, we are saved from idleness by enjoying all the divine provisions through the adding of all diligence. And so we would just open in this way. I'd just like to encourage Brother Mark to come up and continue the fellowship.
For those of you who may not be aware, the Three Fellowship is available in audio form on a website called www.livingtohim.com. There's Three Fellowship, three audio files, and a couple of documents, one of which is a speaking notes that Brother Andrew used in December 29th, and the other is the actual excerpts from the Watch Many passages from drifting, leaking and drifting. So please, you're going to need a password. I don't think I gave that to you. The password is Mark 12:30, no spaces, just Mark 12:30. And encourage you, actually that's my first point. I only have 3 points. That could be summed up in 3 very simple phrases. First point is, we must receive, meaning we must receive this burden. 2, we have hope. To have a vital living is achievable. And finally, we must learn. The whole attitude, our whole spirit should be one of learning. We have not arrived. I don't think any of us have arrived. But by having this learning spirit, where we can learn not only from the Lord but from one another, there's at least a chance that we as a corporate, collective whole can enter into this kind of living. So I just want to mention these 3 things. The first one is, we must receive this burden. And as Brother Donnie had summed up, it's really in these 3 fellowships. I just can't emphasize how much we just need to get into these messages. The first thing you do when you go home is download those MP3s and get into them. Because only after listening to these messages, and even not in a casual way, even in a repeated way, listening to it repeatedly, can you fully appreciate the magnitude, the scope, the significance of this fellowship. This is not for our own sake, our spiritual sake, but for the sake of our churches that we're in, and for ultimately for the sake of the entire recovery. We need to receive this burden. And just in a very simple way, the first message, what stood out to me was the vital living is defined. Whether you call it the God-man living, consecrated living, exercise living, that vital living is just 7 life practices. And when Brother Andrew shared that, I realized in every single one of those points, I was deficient. And how many young adults as well? I think if we really are honest with ourselves, we don't have this kind of living. And so, but to have it defined for us in such a clear and concise way is the first step. The second message in Anaheim, what I took from that is that we need to get into this in a definite way, having definite, concrete, what Brother Andrew used as a terminology is these waypoints, borrowed from the GPS context, these waypoints, these short-term goals, definite goals that are achievable and that we're accountable to someone specific, to have someone as a priest to look after us, to make sure that we're achieving this goal. Why? So that we can make not just progress, but measurable progress. And that's quite important. If you don't know where you've been, you won't know where you're going. If you don't have a past, you won't have a future. We need a goal, and we need definite steps to get there. And the third fellowship, again, as Brother Nani mentioned, not being idle or unfruitful, but there's a beginning portion, about half hour, that Brother Minoru spent to kind of emphasize the importance of this age group, borrowing from the book of Numbers and some of the Old Testament with the children of Israel, and particularly with the priests and the Levites. that this young adults category, in a sense, is the, how should we say, the waist or the trunk of the body. It's not the heart, it's not the brain, but it's the trunk. It provides the primary support. It provides the bears the primary burden, both on the Levitical side and the priestly side, in all the churches, again, for the whole body. And in a sense, we take the lead, not in the sense of providing direction for the church. That, of course, comes from the Lord and comes from the elders. But we take the lead in the sense that we are the first to enter into whatever the church's burden is. In my locality, we are very burdened this year to get into the matter of the truth. Well, the young adults need to be the first to enter into this truth pursuit program and be a pattern to all the believers, not despising our youth. There's one thing that Brother Andrew had shared that, you know, to kind of what embodies why this is so significant. He shared in the first message that if we cannot get overcomers from this age group, you think about it, this is not the bottom of the barrel here. These are ones who many graduated from the training. You know, ones that the churches have invested so much, even you yourselves have invested a lot into the church life in the sense of time, energy, even financially. But if the Lord can't get overcomers in this age group, how can he get overcomers anywhere? So the Lord has to break through in this age group. We need to give ourselves for the young adults. The second point is that we have hope. It is achievable. We can achieve a vital living if we give ourselves in a definite way, if it's concrete, definite, and if we have companions to keep us accountable. And then the third point is we need to have a learning spirit. One of the messages is brought out that this matter of taking care of the young adults is more than rocket science, meaning that it requires a lot of research, a lot of consideration, not just into the ministry, but into the situations. I mean, I don't know how many of us here could give a simple answer to the young mother with three screaming children who have to deal with that from dawn to dusk, barely can drag herself into bed at night. How do you tell such a one you can enter into the vital living? How? I think this requires a lot of study. How about the brother who's at a job that already demands more time than he can afford? You know, how do you tell him you need to enter into this vital living? Again, it requires a lot of learning. Well, what we mean by a lot of learning is that one of the times and burden of this time is to encourage you brothers from all your respective localities. Just go back and start. We're not waiting for someone to figure out the answer, broadcast it, and unveil it to all of us so that we can just follow a manual of how to have a vital living. We all have to endeavor, get into this first, have in parallel, in every locality, brothers, certain brothers coming together. What to do what? Well, primarily to pray. Just pray. Seek the Lord. Every locality is different. Every church is different. The constituents are different. The demographics, whether they have a campus or no campus. All this requires a lot of learning. But not only that we would consider it, get into it, but then we begin to share our experiences with one another. What has worked, what hasn't worked. Through this mutual learning, through this collective learning, perhaps we have a chance to be able to, as a whole, enter into this vital living. Amen. So just to finish off, and I think now Brother David Nguyen should probably come up, is that, you know, we need to, number one, get into these three fellowship. Two, is that we really can do this. It may be impossible with man, but it certainly is possible with God. The Lord can gain this in us. And finally, we can learn. We have to learn. We have to have a learning spirit, endeavoring spirit, enterprising spirit. Amen. Take ownership of the God-ordained way.
As a beneficiary of this burden for young working adults, I'd like to just echo what was shared by the brothers and underline three words that I consider to be a summary of the fellowship that we have received from December 29th of last year. That is commission, commitment, and companionship. First and foremost, Brother Andrew shared with us, we need to pick up the Lord's commission for this generation very seriously and solemnly. As Brother Mark pointed out, to whom much is given, much is required. We who have benefited from the Summer School of the Truth, college training, college conferences, and the full-time training, I feel a personal debt, not only to the Lord, but also to the Lord's recovery, to the ministry of Brother Lee, that we would carry out what he has shared with the entire Lord's recovery. And I felt, in short, this young working adult's burden is for us to answer the Lord's call to live a vital life. That is, that is to work out God-man living and God-ordained way in practicality. And we felt that this term God-man living is not so nebulous anymore. Of course, it is to deny our human life and live by the divine life for the body. But we felt that these seven practices of the vital living serve as a barometer of our vitality. And Brother Andrew emphasized that these seven aspects of the vital living shouldn't serve merely as stinging rebuke of where we are, but a fresh challenge of where we should be. This is not just to impose a heavy yoke upon our shoulder when we have so many other burdens to carry out. Rather, it affords us a fresh opportunity to have a new beginning and say, Lord, I want to give myself to carry out this burden. Amen. And when I was considering this, I have to tell you that I was not fully satisfied with the vitality of my Christian life. There was a hunger and desire to rise up and answer the Lord's commission in this way, and I began to pray personally. And one morning when I was praying, not only for myself, for the whole generation to enter into this, I found myself singing a song that I haven't sung for a long time. A new day has dawned. The saints are going on. Amen. The glory of the Lord is coming down. Amen. All around me I can see there are signs of victory. Amen. Hallelujah, a new day has dawned. Amen. And I can tell you, in my observation of the many of the saints who are gradually entering into this burden, a new day is indeed dawning. Amen. As Brother Mark New told us, there is a hope for each one of us. Amen. And maybe some of us have progressed in this matter of vitality much further than some of us did, or particularly me. But for me, there was a real hunger and desire to rise up to answer the challenge of the generation. Amen. That is to work out the God-ordained way in the vital groups. Amen. So once we make this commission personally to the Lord, receive the Lord's commission personally to the Lord, then we need to make some commitments. Amen. That is to make consecration not only to the Lord, but also to one another. Amen. And we can testify this has made a big difference to us. This means that we make very specific commitments. I'll give you some example. One brother told me that he would read 2 life studies a week and read every chapter of the New Testament. This is the same young working adult who has not read through the Bible at all, who is not reading through the ministry. And the last time I spoke with him, he is keeping up the practice. And in the February 2nd fellowship, one of the most touching testimonies was given by a sister who graduated from the training, who had been serving for a while, but who hadn't met with the church for a couple of years. Then she cried and testified in tears that I want to recover the church life. I want to attend all the meetings, and I'm in the same district as she is, and she is coming to the meetings. This is indeed very encouraging. And finally, in order to carry out the Lord's commission and fulfill our commitments, we need to form companionship. We need companions who would remind us of the Lord's commission and our commitments, and companions who would pray for us and with us and exhort us to carry out the God-ordained way, and especially specific commitments that we made to one another. And I feel that this is really in the principle of the body of Christ, where you are not afraid of acknowledging your weakness and make it known to others. And this is in the principle of the vital group, where you have a intimate and thorough fellowship. For instance, as one of the brothers may share, one young working adult confessed, "I need to go to bed on time. Pray for me that I would be able to do this." And one brother made this commitment that, you know, "I need to add vitality to my daily living." So he called another brother and said, "Let's get up at 5:45 and come together in my office at 6 a.m. and have fellowship with one another, pray and have morning revival and have some intercessory prayer." Both of the brothers are married, and one of them has a kid. And after that hour of morning revival, he will go back to his house to take his child to the preschool. But this was a definite commitment, and these brothers have kept up the practice and benefited very much. Finally, I also know a case where a brother who had not been in any of these fellowship listened to the recording of the fellowship given on February 2nd and December 29th. And he was so charged and inspired by this fellowship. He himself confessed that he had not been so active in the church life. He even confided in me, I don't know whether I should share this, but for your encouragement maybe, that he perhaps blew the chance to be an overcomer. This was his fear. But then he realized this is a time to answer the Lord's call for this generation. And he was so vitalized by this fellowship that he called some brothers to pray together with him, and he invited some other young working adults to his house to infuse them with this burden. And his real goal is to reverse the trend in his locality where the young working adults don't come to the prayer meeting on time. And he's just fellowshipping with these brothers and even sisters, infusing this burden, and he's becoming a vital person. So you can see this kind of practice can be achieved even by those outside Southern California who have received this fellowship directly. And finally, you know, one brother told me that he feels that in 20 years from now, we will look back at this time of fellowship as a milestone, a landmark, and say, this is the time where we made a corporate turn to carry out the Lord's commission for us. So may we receive the Lord's commission, make commitment or consecration to the Lord and to one another, to be accountable to one another, and form companionship so that we can really answer the Lord's calling for this generation. Now I'd like to ask some brothers in Anaheim and Irvine and Charlotte who have entered into this practice in a limited degree but can testify the benefits they received.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Just a brief testimony from Anaheim in our initial response to this burden. A group of us brothers began to meet and have been meeting regularly about once a week after the prayer meeting to pray together. Brother Andrew specifically charged us that we should pray, first of all to pray. So I think we've begun to enter into that practice. He also charges we should make a list and even have specific, at least four, that we are on our heart and that we try to reach out to in a regular way. So personally, just three basic waypoints that I tried to put into practice after his recent fellowship on February 2nd related to a scheduled living, attending the meetings, and having a companionship. Number one, I gave myself to exercise 3 times a week. So since then, I've exercised to get up at 6:30 in the morning to go to exercise for 20 minutes before work. Number two, related to companionship, I gave myself and my wife, we gave ourselves to pray 10 minutes a day, which, like Mark shared, for a wife taking care of 2 young ones and a teenager in our house is no small feat. And what we worked out is that she would call me at about 9 o'clock after the kids are in school or situated. And we've been praying 10 minutes a day for the past 3 months for each other and for some of the ones that are close to us in their personal situations. And then thirdly, the matter of attending the prayer meeting and coming on time. You know, in the church in Anaheim, our prayer meeting is about 200, 250 saints. It's easy to leak and drift and not feel that you're an important part of that meeting or not even to come. But by the Lord's mercy, I've given myself to attend the meeting and to be on time to try and sit in the first couple of rows. So that's been a benefit to myself and my wife in the last 3 months.
Amen.
So I like to speak as a brother who works. So I'm a working brother. Like many of you, I'm a church kid, and I went through the training many years back. So I like to share my testimony in the way of before, maybe, and after. And I still have a long ways to go, but I'm thoroughly, thoroughly encouraged. So before, I was very individualistic. I had a very secluded church life. I wanted to be spiritual. I wanted constitution for myself. I wanted to build myself up. And I was very dissatisfied with that kind of living. I went to the meetings regularly, but I just felt something was missing, something was lacking, and I felt a little lost. So there were some good and high points in my Christian life and church life, but I feel overall I had a lot of drifting and leaking and a lot of waste of time. So with all this fellowship starting with December and then in February in Anaheim, we started practicing, and I really made a commitment to practice. I felt, you know, if I consecrated my youth to be preserved from the world, if I've given myself to the Lord's recovery, if I have abstained from things, why am I here? Just want to live halfway miserably into outer darkness. This is not my plan. So if this doesn't work for me, it will not work at all. So it was basically, this is life or death. So the after is that schedule living, you know, schedule a time to always read the life studies, to read the Bible, to, of course, have the morning time. I've been encouraged by that. Before, it was more inspired by a conference or a training, and then go in big spurts and then sort of fizzle, you know. But now it's whether I feel like it or not, I must read that life study today. I must read those chapters in the Bible. And reading it legally like this really led me into a life that is so enjoyable. Amen. The salvation from the ministry is incredible. Amen. And so then the other side is this is not individualistic matter. We're not advocating, let's try again individualistically. It's all about the body now. Amen. So growth in life is a body matter. Spirituality is a body matter. And because this is by the way of companions, I'm able to keep this up. Amen. So I call a brother calls me, and we actually enjoy the word together in the ministry, and we pray together. I call another brother, and we pray for another in an interceding way for someone who's having a hard time. And so I also made a public vow that I would go to the prayer meetings regularly this year. And so far, by the Lord's mercy, that has held up. It is a challenge because, like many of you, I work and I'm exhausted. I have a lot of responsibilities at work. And I, you know, but instead of taking so much of my time to read the news, now I read the life studies. So there is priorities. It's not that we don't have time. It's how we spend our time. So anyway, and then because of the enjoyment of life, that has allowed me to function in ways I've never done before. For example, Saturday morning, I go out with the middle-aged trainees and local saints, and we visit the Bibles for America recipients. We have Bible studies on the lawn of this brother. We go through the neighborhoods enjoying the Lord. And before Saturday morning was the worst time, I wanted to rest from the week. But now I look forward to that time because it's such a revival. It's not a burden. It is a joy to touch people in a living way. So with a life, there is a function. Anyway, I'm not there yet, but I just want to encourage you with these words.
Hallelujah. You know, out of this time on that Brother Minoru had with us in Irvine on February 6th, I think there was, you know, there were 100-150 of young adults, I think, there, and they're all in Irvine. And, you know, by Brother Minoru's fellowship and by seeing the faces, many of us realized, what are we doing? I didn't know half the people in the room, and they're in Irvine. So anyway, we just, the next week we had a time of response, just a number of brothers, like Paul and I, we just came together, we're just working brothers in Irvine, and we just opened to one another, where we are, what's going on. And out of that came about 3 weeks of just prayer. We met together once a week for about 3 weeks to just pray. Lord, we don't know what to do. We're desperate. I mean, that really, his fellowship that day really caused us to kind of just shake us. You know, what are you doing? And we realized, Lord Jesus, we got to be desperate here. This is a desperate situation. Amen. So many young adults. The trunk, the main part of the body is, what are we doing? And now I think we realize we're separated. We're individualistic. We're just kind of scattered abroad, but not being built together, not being built up so that the Lord can have a way to have a vital, the vital impact on our locality.
Amen.
So we had about 3 weeks of prayer, and out of that came a time, just a smaller number of brothers, specific brothers came together to just pray, what is our goal? What are we doing? What are we here for? So we set some goals and some things came out. We need to love the brothers. We want to love the brothers. We want to be in an atmosphere of love. And with a spiritual, our contact with one another wants to be in a spiritual nature. For the goal of contacting others, to gain others, to bring others into the vital living, the vital group life.
Amen.
And then... after that, out of that came a fellowship where we would just, a commitment to one another that we would weekly, we would contact one another. We're not going to try and start something big, call all the young adults, you know, all 150 of them, you know, try and stir something up. That's not the way we need to do this. We just felt through prayer, we need to start small, contact one another on a weekly basis. Pray over the phone. Brother, how are you doing? I mean, Paul, before this time, I hardly knew Paul. And but now I know a lot about his situation. I can pray for him. We can. I'm burdened.
Amen.
I'm burdened for him.
Amen.
I'm burdened for the other young adults in my locality.
Amen.
So anyway, this is where we are. And just finally, you know, when I came into the church life in '92, and the vision that I received at that time in the ministry was brotherly speaking concerning the urgent need of the vital groups. So you know, it's been 15, 16 years now since then, This burden has been burning in all of us. We all received this ministry. Most of us here were here around that time. But I think that has been something burning in us all these years. But now I just, through this spark, I feel like this is the time of life.
Amen.
The speaking in the brothers through the body is this is the time to rise up.
Amen.
And we're the ones who have to do it.
Amen.
No one else is going to do it. So anyway, I'm burdened and encouraged.
Amen.
So just in a way of reporting to you a little bit about the church in Irvine, we've had a beginning.
Amen.
With the young adults, we've had a beginning.
Amen.
You know, there's about 700 to 800 saints there, and about a quarter of it, about 150 to 200, are in this category of young adults. And right now we have meeting on Thursdays. On Thursday evenings, we have about 15 young brothers. And there's some definite steps that we've taken. One step is we found out we have this culture that makes us live like individuals. We don't care about each other. We don't know anything about each other. We're not related in any way to each other, and we needed to break that culture.
Amen.
So we wanted to take some definite steps. How would we do that? One is by contacting each other. We committed 3 times a week. We would have 3 times a week with the brothers that were there. And we're responsible or accountable to each other. So every Thursday we check. Did you guys have your times? Who did you contact? What happened? And we also do this on Thursdays in a way of learning from each other. You know, a lot of times it's awkward. You call somebody, you don't know. You don't know anything about them. And they've been in the church life with you for how long? And you don't know what to do. So we want to learn. What did you brothers do? How did you open? What did you pray for? And so we're learning, you know, what do we open and how to function, you know, through our prayer to fight for each other's function. You know, we've also had some considerations. Who are we going to add? How are we going to add? You know, how are we going to get the sisters involved? And so the overriding theme there is we've just been praying. We don't know. We don't know, but we know every week we come together. It's so rich, those Thursday times. I think all the brothers that are there can testify. You know, we just feel like we're skating on the surface. And just a little personal testimony about how it's affected me. You know, I work, and I felt like, I'm so glad somebody mentioned about Joshua and Caleb spying up. I just felt like those, going to work was like my giant. And I just saw it was gonna eat me. That's the way I felt. I just, after work, at the end of the week, I had no energy to do anything. No energy to go to the meetings, no feeling to get into the ministry. And I was just worn out. And this started, and I'm telling you, my vision got changed.
Amen.
I don't see it as a giant anymore.
Amen.
It's my food.
Amen.
You know, the reason why I go to work, I work with brothers. There's some brothers there in our company. And I go there now in a way of, I am going to meet with you, brothers. We are praying together, and we are not doing it for ourselves to be in a better situation, but we are doing it because this is what the Lord wants.
Amen.
You know, Brother Lee said, every minute of our time and every ounce of our energy and every drop of our blood has to be spent on the vital groups to build it up. So I took that. And now the reason why I go to work is for the vital group living.
Amen.
I see those brothers there. I'm reminded to pray for them. And if we can't get together to pray, I pray for them. But most of the time, we're able. I mean, who doesn't have 5 minutes in their work time? We can pray together. And I tell you, the relationship with those brothers is so sweet now.
Amen.
Anyways, praise the Lord.
Oh, are you translating? Okay, well, everyone take a look at Yi Ting. This is Yi Ting. He's my vital companion. Amen. 2 minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah. So I was in that fellowship last December, and, you know, after that message, I was like, whoa. And I had mixed feelings, you know. Is this really going to happen? But on the other hand, someone else said, I mean, if it doesn't happen, then what is going to happen? I served for, you know, 8 years full-time in Russia, and so I was in that. But now I've been working for 2.5 years, and it's like Andrew said, it's one thing to overcome in Grace Gardens. It's one thing to overcome when you're in the center of God's move, and it's another thing to overcome in Egypt. And so I went back to North Carolina, and I just, I couldn't do anything. But then after about a week, I said, I'm going to do it. He gave us 7 things. I mean, I'm going to give it a shot. And so I knew, you know, just I knew that if I don't have it on paper, I'm living in fantasy land. Either I'm deceived, or I'm self-deceived, thinking I'm in it, or I'm just ignorant. And so I just made a list, you know, 7 columns. Amen. Morning revival, truth study, Bible reading, intercessory prayer, contacting people, and meetings. And I began to track it. And my experience, brothers, is if you look at your situation every day, you will either throw this out the window or you will progress. You cannot see yourself in the mirror and not do something about it and quantify it. And brothers, to my shame, this is since January, this is the first time in my life I have ever gotten revived for 30 minutes every day. Now, did I not have morning revival before? Yes. But it was, I don't know, it was probably 10, 15 minutes. Maybe every now and then a 30-minute, 45-minute. But brothers, it's a fact. And there are averages, there are statistics. You know? It's just, and I appreciate what Andrew said, the crystallization study of 1 Corinthians. We're not competing against everyone else. All run, but only one wins the prize. Who is our competitor? It's time. And that time is being calculated on a daily basis. And one day, the facts are going to be pulled out. And you know, if you're not ready for 30 minutes, go for 10 minutes a day. We're not competing against each other. But if you look at that 10, you will be at 12. Then you will be at 14. You will progress. Otherwise, you'll just ignore it if you pay attention to it. So I've had two words. Okay, after I did this for 1 week, I realized, I don't know, I want this to be long-term. And I called Yiting. I said, and Yiting, he never even listened to the message. But the Lord blessed Yiting. He said, okay, let's do it. He just joined himself to me. And so I sent him the, you know, my kids started drawing on it, putting their own numbers in there. So I turned it into, I turned it into a little spreadsheet where I just put the numbers in. It calculates at the end of the week what I did, and it's done. And I sent it to him. He started doing it. And we send it, you know, and then Sunday evenings, we call each other. And Yiting, I got revived 3 times this week. You know, how many minutes did you spend in the truth? We don't really ask each other. We just say, okay, you know, I was in the truth 135 minutes from February 3rd to February 9th. You know, I read 9 chapters of the Bible that week. And brothers, I've just seen my numbers go up. Amen. But without Yiting, I could have never done it. Amen. And what's so precious is that, I mean, there is no shame and there's no exaltation. Amen. It's just, this is where we are. And spontaneously, we start praying for each other. But actually, I saw a change about a month and a half into it. And that was that now when we call each other, we don't even really get into this too much. We just, oh, Lord, David Berglund. Oh, Lord, Michael Courtright. Oh, Lord, John Vigilant in Miami. Oh, Lord, Nathan Betts in Baltimore. Oh, we just start praying. And it's all intercession now at this point. And, you know, it's just almost all intercession at this point. And the last thing I like to say, brothers, is that the deep yearning in my heart is not just to be a Daniel in Babylon. I mean, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the Lord, you know, I see it that's happening in front of my eyes. What has never happened before, maybe somewhat artificially in the full-time training, but what really has never happened before is happening, and this is so precious to me. But what's in my heart is, Lord, what about the 3,000? I mean, who cares about my personal figures? What the Lord's looking at is, what's the average of all of us? Amen. And that's what I want to look at. When I think of what, I don't speak Chinese, so I can never look at the website, but what I hear about the brothers in Taiwan did, that's what's in my dream, is that we could move together, Amen. Is that we could put our numbers in together. And maybe that's not the way, I don't care, but some quantifiable way that we can track our corporate progress. And if it's just condition at the beginning, it'll be condition. But condition will turn into progress. Amen. That's what's on my heart. Amen. I want to pursue with everyone. Amen. I want my figures to be a part of the average of all of us together because that's what brings the Lord back. Amen. And I really wish you'd think, if I could translate tonight. But he has something good to share too. But anyway.
What an encouragement. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. I feel like I'm getting revived just being here. We'd like to just ask if Brother Andrew could come and say a little word, and then if Brother Dan Toll is still here. And then we'd like to give some time to the brothers from Taiwan. So if Brother Andrew, you'd come up.
I was going to give more time to Dan, but he needs to leave. So I want to read you this one part, which I was going to read in my message, but I didn't have the time. And here it is. There is the need of revival and an overcoming living. That's what we're talking about. To practice Ephesians 4:11-16, there is the need of total consecration. In everything, seek the growth in life, and in all things, grow up into the head, which is Christ. The more consecrated we are, the more we will receive. Today, the elders bear a particularly heavy burden. While they feel inadequate for meeting the needs of the saints, they are reluctant to resign. Constrained between the two, they have to give either their all or none at all. And I'll say that to you, not just to the elders. that it's always all or none. You go up. If you don't go up, it's an upstream, then you just drift down. It's even, Brother Lee said one time, even to survive physically, it's a struggle. When you get a little bit aging, then you get up every morning, you have to make a resolution to live, even physically. And that, of course, goes very, very true eternally, always, spiritually, that you have to resolve to live. Constrained between the two, they have to either give their all or none at all. In this case, they have to give themselves thoroughly and absolutely. In everything, whether great or small, they must seek the growth in life and they must seek to grow up into the head Christ. By doing so, the elders will find themselves able to do their job. Hence, first, there is the need for revival and an overcoming living. That's what we're talking about. And overcoming is not super. It's just better than what you're doing. Really. Really. Then there is a need for a total consecration. It is not a matter of the availability of time. It is not a matter of the availability of time. Rather, it is a matter of consecration. When you're consecrated, you will have the time. When we grow up into the head Christ in everything, all our problems will be solved. To you, it may be a dream, but it can happen. And it's never too late to start, and it's never too much to get up after you fail. It's never too much to do it again. It's never too much. Two things I was impressed this past training that applies to this group. Number one, there's quite a bit of speaking about being the Zion in Jerusalem. And the Zion in Jerusalem is the overcomers. And who are they going to be? So when we talk about the overcoming living, we're talking about, Lord, I know it's hard, but I want to be the overcomers today. And in the vital group messages, Brother Lee put a big, huge equal sign. The overcomers are the vital members. The overcomers equal the vital person. So it's not going to Africa and get chopped off your head. It's not going to China and going to prison. It's just going to your arena at work and the sisters going to your job, going to your home and just face the situation. Don't be dragged by the situation. Face it and say, Lord, I need to face it. Companionship is, of course, very important. Anyway, number one, Zion. That's the vision. You know, Ron, he got fire coming out of his spirit this morning. And I hope fire comes out of your spirit, Lord. Amen. Overcomers for the church life today. You know, there is some special speaking this last weekend concerning the young ones. You have to notice it. You know, it's like it's popping out. None of that is planned. It popped out this morning in Ron speaking. It popped out yesterday in Brother Minoru speaking. None of that was planned. None of that was in the outline. And you just realize there's something there. The other thing that I was touched this last eight messages was the matter of the living. That, again, it comes back to this matter, that yes, we have the vision, yes, we do need the experience, but it's something that is manifested and practiced in our living. And so I still want to give the time to the Taiwan brothers and share something about their experience. And you saw a little bit of the video that they showed for 3 minutes. And I invited some brothers over the phone to go, but it turned out that it was too expensive. But it was very, very inspiring. Inspiring not in the way of a message, but inspiring in seeing a generation standing up and say, we take possession, we take ownership of our spiritual life. We're not just, you know, somebody is keep encouraging us and pumping into us, but we take ownership and we take responsibility for where we're going. And that's very, very encouraging. I think you need to start with prayer. That's what I told the brothers again. And you need to start where you are. Don't think big. You know, that's what one thing I learned. Don't think big. Once you think too big, you're not going to get it. Just start from where you are and start from prayer. And it will happen. It will happen. I assure you that it will happen. I have seen too many cases of saints that feel that they're hopeless. And it's amazing that it's not the backsliding ones that feel hopeless. It's us that have gone through so much training that we feel hopeless. Well, that's the fact. But I'll just tell you one more thing, which I share with the brothers on the phone. I came back from China and Korea and had 10 days with Hank Handicraft. And the one thing that Hank was impressed was the way that you people practice the church life. And I remember Brother Lee told me one time, he said, we ought to overcome Christianity. And you overcome not just by the truth, which we're trying to do, but you overcome them by the living. And that's what they want. They want that. And that's what Hank said. He said, the only way I can describe it is to use an acronym, WOW, W-O-W. And each word represents something. I'm not going to go into that. But he said he is convinced that the ministry of Brother Lee, Born in Suffering, will be a big contribution to the whole entire New Testament Christianity. And that we should not, our goal should not be just we're no longer a cult, but that we should share and we should tell the entire body of Christ what is in this ministry. Amen. I felt a little bit ashamed when he said that. But, you know, that's what an outsider sees. He's not so much impressed with our teaching yet, but he sees our living. And he was touched to the core with that. One final thing I want to tell you. The three goals of the full-time training, FTTA, I went back and I review. And number one, that we would get into the high peak truth of God becoming man so that man can become God. That's what we're trying to do and help the young working saints to get into the truth, to study the truth in a scheduled way. Number two, to be the Zion in Jerusalem, and that is to become the overcomers that will rescue the church situation out of its present dormancy. That's the second goal of the FTTA. And the third goal is that we would live a crucified life in the power of Christ's resurrection. That's the God-man living. And so the FTTA is you graduated, but that three goals should be our guiding star for the rest of our life, and that we should live that life, not just those 2 years while we're there in the training. The minute we step out of Grace Garden, we're entering the real arena. Amen. So anyway, I just thought to say a few words. I've been having on and off communication with some of the brothers just by phone because everybody's busy, and I know that. And we're not trying to start another meeting. We're not trying to start another young people's work. We're not trying to start anything. I'm just burdened for you. I'm very burdened for you. So I just feel like you take this burden, go back and pray a little bit about it, and then consider, like what our brother said, talk a little bit to those around you in your locality. Right now, there's 4 places that we know of that are picking up this burden. And I say just picking up this burden. You ask me, what should we do? What's the next step? I don't know. The Lord is your next step. And I wasn't sitting at the back randomly. I sit there deliberately because this is your meeting. This is not my meeting. But be sure, be very assured that all the brothers stand 100% behind it. 100% behind you. Okay. I'm going to stop here, and then maybe, Donnie, you said you would like the Taiwan brothers to share something? Okay. Why don't you come up and share something?
I'm from a church in Taipei, Taiwan. I do like to echo this burden concerning to live a vital living. In September 2006, there is a perfecting training for young working saints and college students. The general subject is called God's Present Move. In that training, it really impressed me. Brother just came to serve us and to share this burden concerning to live a vital living. So we spent entire 1 year to encourage young adults, young working saints in the church life. We need to put into practices. So I really can testify by practice all these 7 items, gradually we regain the vitality in the church life. Amen. At the very beginning, maybe it's hard for the saints because we need to change the way for our daily living. But gradually, when we start to practice, we just realize how we need to put all these items into practices. Because in the training, by fellowship with us, we cannot live 2 different kinds of life, just like the frog. When we go to work, just like to swim in the water, and come back to the church life, just come up to the land. That's 2 different kinds of life. But as a normal Christian, we just can live 1 kind of life. Amen. That is a life of government living. Amen. But how can we do this? I do like to echo the brother's testimony. For the entire 1 year in the church life, we have we call a vital 24/7 exercise, 24 hours per day and 7 days a week. We need to start the practices. So we design a form and give the form to all the young working saints. And every day they will start to practice. And at the end of the week, they just return back the form to the one responsible brother in that district. And half a year in the church life, we have a meeting for them to give their testimony. And we even give them the reward. Those who practice and they give their testimony and they practice in a regular way, we really can testify or they really gain the vitality. And even though we practice 1 year, but we still have this kind of feeling, the manner of living, there's no way for us can graduate. So even the beginning of this year, we continue to share this burden. Or we need to continue to live such a vital living. In this way, we can have the vitality to contact people, to preach the gospel. So I do like to echo this burden, which we just like the brothers here to practice all this burden, and we are just your companion. We need to press on together to become a living and normal functioning members in the church life.
I'm a working saint. 我在 23 年前在大学得救。 I was saved 23 years ago while I was in college. 有 10 年的时间我都是在大学的弟兄之家生活。 I stayed with the brother's house for 10 years. 接下去就展开我到现在有 12年的开业的生活，我是一个牙医师。 Afterwards, I have been a dentist for 12 years.
我的工作非常的忙碌, 因为我是开业医。
My work is very busy because I have to work at night.
所以我有的时间实在是很有限。
So I have very limited time.
但我有一点蒙恩的地方。
But I have received some blessing.
特别是早晨的这一段的时间。
Especially in my morning time.
我9点才开始上班。
Because I start to work at 9.
那早晨起床之后，我自己个人的晨兴之后， 那我就陪, 陪着召会的弟兄姊妹, 陪着他们一同的晨兴。
After I have my personal morning revival, I will help the others to have morning revival in the church.
特别这段的时间, 在召会里面, 我们在推能够, 普遍, 人人都有晨兴的生活。
Especially after the church has have a burden to have everybody has a morning revival time.
目前我们, 我在的那个召会大概是120位, 圣徒正常的聚会。
There are about 120 saints meeting normally in my locality.
那目前我们有超过三分之二的弟兄姊妹都有一起, 都有晨兴。
There are over 2/3 of the saints we have a morning revival.
其中大概有超过一半是来在一起晨兴。More
than half we come together.
我就是负责 建立 把一些弟兄姊妹们 把他们聚在一起 然后再交给其他的人 然后我再去建立别的 再去建立别的晨兴的据点。
I will try to gather the saints together and give to others. Then I will lead that group go to another group to help more saints to come together.
所以我们虽然那个地方是不是很大的地方, 但是我们现在来在一起晨兴的点就已经有10个点了。
Even it is not a very big locality, but we have more than 10 groups coming together have corporate morning revival.
那目前我们还在往这方面还继续的努力。
We're still working on this.
这个是我们 在那里的蒙恩的点。
This is what we have received the blessing.
那另外我们从大概是八年前我也开始就是我自己进入到生命读经的追求里。
About 8 years ago, I started to read the life study.
那也带弟兄姊妹一同的进入。
Also lead the saints to get into together.
所以我们从新约读完了之后再读旧约，现在又读到新约。 已经快在一年就可以再读完一遍。
We have finished the New Testament life study. We have finished the Old Testament life study. We have one more time again.
所以我们在召会的进度有一条是水流线，一条是基础线。
So in our church life, there's two lines. One line is about the line of flow, the present flow. The other is the line of basic truth.
的确从这个生命读经得着非常大的帮助。
We got a lot of help from the life studies.
那我们也进入一年七次的信息里面,
we also enter into the 7 feet so that we'll remain in the present flow.
那因着这样的追求, 因着这样的实行,
Because this kind of pursuing and practice, we have over 10% increase every year. About half of them they were gained in the past 5 years.
那我这次来参加这次的训练, 除了进入这个信息之外, 我另外还有一个负担, 就是来看一对学员, 他们是从我们那里来到这里来训练的。
Okay, when I came for this training, besides the training, I also would like to visit a couple who came here for the training.
他们是从南非到草屯去工作。
They went from South Africa to 草屯, work there. That's his locality.
对。然后当他们开始跟我们接触到的时候，那是第一次聚会是祷告聚会。
When they contacted us the first time, the first meeting they came was the prayer meeting.
从那时候开始，一年半的时间，他们都有正常的聚会。
For a year and a half, they have regular meeting.
那在接触的过程当中，我们把 open window 还有一年七次的那个 video 都给他们看。
In our contacting with them, we just introduced them to the open window and the 7 feet.
他们就很受吸引，他们觉得说他们需要有训练。
They were attracted. They would like to be trained.
所以他们今年的暑假就结训了。
This summer they will finish their training here.
这个都是因为我们在当地因着有追求的关系，所以陆陆续续有一些人就被带进教会生活里。Because
the pursuing, so gradually more and more came to the church life.
那当台湾在带领说要得青年人的时候，我们也愿意配合。
When the churches in Taipei will have a burden to help the young people, we also follow.
所以去年一整年我们就带了五十几位的新人得救。So
in the past 1 year, we have gained 50 new ones.
其中也有二十几位是大专生。Over
20s college students.
那现在我们也在校园里面陪他们，早晨就到校园里面陪他们有晨兴。So
now we will spend time together to have morning revival on the campus with them.
我们相信这些人很快就可以被带进弟兄之家里面。Then
they will be gathered into their brother's house.
另外我还有跟一位，他也是在医院上班的一个医生。I
also have time with another doctor.
我们也是周中到校园里面去陪他读经。We
will go to the campus together to read the Bible.
经过了陪了一个学期之后，After
one term,
到2周前，我们也得到一个很好的消息。We
also have the good news 2 weeks ago.
他告诉我们说，他从新约的马太福音已经读到了以弗所书，是经文带着注解来读，自己读。He
has read from Matthew to Ephesians. With the footnotes.
虽然感觉上一周陪他一次，好像这个觉得时间很短，但是当我们坚定持续的时候，那个果效就出来了。Although
when it is a kind of short time once a week, but if we continue steadfastly, we will see the effect.
这是我虽然我是一个在职的弟兄，我的时间相当的有限，但当我觉得说我愿意配合、愿意进入的时候，那 我所在的地方，我个人也都能够跟着蒙恩。Even
I'm a doctor and have limited time, but if I'm willing and I can still receive the blessing with the others.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you want to speak?
It's okay. Okay. 我要见证我是一个父亲陪我小孩一同过这个得胜的生活。I
would like to testify as a father, spend time with my children to live an overcoming life.
知道真理是一回事，真的走路是另外一回事。
To know the truth is one thing, to walk is another thing.
当然我们自己一定要建立起这样的生活。We
should establish this kind of living.
然后我们才能够帮助别人也过同样的生活。Then
we can help others live in the same way.
当然要过生活需要很多的操练。To
live this kind of life, we need a lot of exercise.
既然是操练，就不要怕失败。
since it is an exercise, do not be afraid of failures.
什么时候失败, 什么时候再操练就好了。
Whenever there's a failure, just exercise again.
我的孩子到了青少年, 有相当多, 反叛的情形。
When my children have become a teenager, they become rebellious.
那最好的方法就是陪他天天有享受主的生活。
The best way is to enjoy the Lord with them together.
我们不光是陪新人,
not only we spend the time with the new ones,
陪学生,
spend the time with the students,
其实也可以跟家人一同操练过这样的生活。
We can also exercise to live this way with our families.
所以呢, 晚上就跟孩子祷告。
So every night we pray together with the children.
早上他很早起来，他有个人诚心去学校。
He gets up quite early and he goes to school.
那我们一个礼拜一定会分出一个时间来，有我们全家的聚集。
So at least once a week we'll have the whole family will come together.
当然，有的时候我不在台湾啊。Sometimes
I'm not there.
我说我如果在的时候。
If I'm there, we'll have that time.
我们不长, 但是呢, 有很多的交通和祷告。
We have a lot of prayer and fellowship.
这样就帮助他们过一种的生活。
This is to help them to live in a way.
使得神不仅是我的神, 也成为我儿女的神。
So God is not only my God, but also become their God.
那最近我很喜乐, 就是我的孩子对这个传福音非常的有负担。
I'm very joyful because my children now has a burden for the gospel.
那我去追那个原因大概就是因为他最近的享受主比较多。
The reason probably is that he has enjoyed the Lord a lot recently.
所以呢,他对全班的同学非常的有负担。
So he has burden for all the classmates.
为了已过的323的青年大会,他邀了同学去。
In the past March 23rd meeting together, he invited classmates.
所以我愿意回应余杰林弟兄的负担。
I want to echo Brother Andrew Yu's burden.
就是这个生活的操练的确能够胜过整个的基督教。
The exercise of living can overcome the Christianity.
Amen.
I'm from Oklahoma City. I just wanted to underline the matter of accountability. Colleague Joseph, who's one of the elders in Oklahoma City, was involved in the Chinese scholars time, I guess was last year, and he was very much impressed with this matter of scheduling. And so he came back, and the elders, we fellowshipped concerning how we could help the saints into this matter of having a scheduled living. And we began a shepherding training where 6 of the 7 points were put on a piece of paper. So if you had morning revival for 30 minutes, you check it off. Bible reading, one chapter of the Old Testament, one chapter of the New Testament, you check it off. Pass out one tract a day. You could just set it down. If you didn't have enough boldness to hand it to somebody, you could put it in a phone booth or something. Prayer with a partner at least 10 minutes a day. And all the meetings of the church. So the only thing that wasn't quantified, and I asked the brothers over there, how do you quantify the matter of the finances? I'm not sure if there's a way you could, how much money you spent on yourself and for the Lord. I don't know. But anyway, we did that with the saints in the church. About 100 saints voluntarily entered into this, and it was something you had to sign up for. And we made a little box where every week they could drop their sheet into the box. And all the saints were very stirred up and really encouraged to start the training. And, you know, then we would take the sheets out, the elders, and we would look at them. And, you know, we all have weaknesses in different areas. The thing that really was difficult for most of us was to stop in the middle of the day and to have a little time with the Lord. And also a lot had difficulty with the tracts. But anyway, the problem was, although they were having some accountability, they were handing it in to us, there was never any feedback. Because how are we going to feedback? You know, we had 100 and something saints. We're looking at all these. We didn't know what to do. And so eventually the number that was being turned into the box got less and less. And I think it was a matter of what Daniel said. You look at that sheet of paper, and either you're going to get discouraging and throw the paper out, or it's going to affect you. So anyway, we had some fellowship among the brothers. What can we do? And we fellowshiped well. There's no way we can and do it. So how about we just encourage the saints to find the person either they're already praying with to turn it into them, or to find somebody else to turn their paper into. And since that's happened, I'm not sure what's going on with that shepherding training. We're hoping that the saints are continuing to endeavor. We need to have more fellowship. But then I wanted to speak more on a kind of a personal experience. You know, the full-timers, I serve on the campus team there. And our weekly schedule that we have to turn in, of course, embodies all of those, everything except for the financial part of it. And this is something we've been doing for, you know, years, almost a decade probably. And sometime a few years ago, Collie told me, well, you don't have to turn one in anymore. You don't have to turn it in to me. And I said, okay, but I want to. And I realized if I didn't turn it in to him, I was going to slide. And so I continued to turn it in to him. Anyway, then he moved here to California for DCP, and then he started being involved in Europe. And so I became the player coach. And I thought, well, I still need to give this to somebody. So I told my brother, who's my partner, I said, I'm going to give you my schedule. And I did that for, I think, all of a semester. And then something happened at the beginning of this semester, and I just stopped turning my schedule in. And I think that one thing, just not turning in a weekly schedule, was the thing that just, I mean, this semester I've really struggled. And I was under a lot of pressure, a lot of weight, and the enemy cut off a lot of these things that just keep us in life. And anyway, I just testify that this, we all need this.
My name is Philip Bradley. I live in Athens, Georgia. Just wanted to share something we try along these two words that David shared of commitment and companions. And just realizing that without the companions, there's really no such thing as commitment. I mean, there is, but those people who can commit as individuals and follow through with these seven things, I don't know who and where they are, you know, but God bless them. You know? But I'm not in that category, right? And most of us aren't in that category. So we have a small team of four, and we're all broken reeds. I mean, we're just so we've enjoyed this thing. What I realize, it takes time. It just takes a little bit of time every day. But basically, every Monday we're together, we pray and enjoy the Lord, and then out comes the laptop, and we just go around, and each person shares their weekly goals. Well, first of all, every day we just go around the table, and I'm kind of facilitating it most days, but say, so yesterday you were in Judges 3. Where are you today? You know, and then Judges 3. So I say, okay. But we mark it down, you know, and yesterday in the New Testament you were in Acts 5. So where are you today? Acts 7. Okay, we mark it down. Then I go, okay, Jason, how about you? And then we go around, and then, well, how many minutes did you have with the Lord this morning? And then, none. All right, you know, put it down. How about you? 15, 5. You know, well, we don't count 5, so you know, we try to have 10, right? So, anyway, but just go around, and then the third thing is the life studies. You know, we're trying to read through different tracks. So you were in Mark or you were in Genesis. We have different things. So where are you today? And then everyone show, and then they come at me, and I have to, you know, share my own failures. Then, but we don't just, what we've learned is it's possible, even you go that far, to have a kind of destructive mutual sympathy. Like, oh, it's so hard. Isn't it hard? You know, and yeah. But we don't do that. You know, we've learned to, we say, well, we need to pray again. We have to pray every day, you know. So what time did you go to bed so that you had no morning revival? 1. Okay. Well, we need to bring that to the Lord. And it's not an inquisition. It's just a loving mutual diagnosis, you know. But it's daily. And then what we tacked on to that eventually was weekly goals, because we heard this matter of the waypoints. So every Monday, and it takes some time. Each team member goes around and they say, this week, you know, one sister says, this week I'm going to have 2 days where I spend 30 minutes with the Lord. You know, but then I say, what days will those be? You know, well, Thursday and Tuesday. Okay, then we put them down, and then the next person has their goals, and they're very different. And so, and they're not always so spiritual. Sometimes it's just other things, right, that you want to do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're so weak and wretched, but when we come together like that every day, and there's a time price, you know, we give up caring for the work, basically. But on the other hand, if you're sober, you realize that to be a Christian worker who does not pray nor read the Bible is madness. You know, so we better be giving that up to take care of these other matters. So we're enlarging it to try to account for the 7 things. You know, I feel like that's right. That is a definition of vitality that we should all grab hold of. And anyway, just an experience to share. Of course, you know, this, because of communications technology, we can do this with whether we're working, and I do it through text message with another group of brothers, college students. I use this thing called Twitter, which lets you send text messages to a group, you know, and so I have my walk with the Lord, and then I finish it, and I say, I just had a 20-minute walk with the Lord, and I feel great, and then they all get it, you know, and then how about you, you know, and then they all start to respond, and just a way to mutually keep up with one another. It has to be daily. It really does for us, daily, and with a lot of prayer and love, and with specific goals. But amen. It's doable.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
Well, Ray and I just wanted to share a little bit. We had a little burden, since we're just a little bit ahead of you, slightly in our early 40s on this road, on our experience in the church life.
Amen.
I was also raised in the church life and came through training. And I went and served, like Daniel, 8 years in Russia. But I remember coming back from Russia and then starting to work again, to take a job, and feeling really directionless and lost. And I wish I had the direction and the fellowship y'all have had right when I was coming back. But the Lord sovereignly led me to that book, All Ages for the Lord's Recovery. And I got so much help to see what my function is from 30 to 50.
Amen.
that when I was in my 20s, I was in the Lord's army. I was fighting the battles, and I think a lot of us, you know, in the training and serving on the campus, that's analogous to being in the army.
Amen.
Right? Fighting the battles, expanding the kingdom city by city. But when I got in my 30s and I came back to work, I realized actually to be a priest, to take care of the testimony, is even more vital and more important. It has apprenticeship, and actually the army is for the testimony. So to take care of the testimony is something that's so, so precious and so, so vital
right.
to the Lord's recovery. And then in my 30s, I need to be perfected.
Amen.
I need to be perfected in my function.
Amen.
And even things like in my tithing, mm-hmm. in my opening my house. Mm-hmm. When I was in Russia, I was taking care of older brothers, and I was exhorting them, well, why don't you come to the prayer meeting?
Right.
You know. But now I realize I need to be perfected in being a working brother, paying a mortgage, raising 3 kids, but being fully in the church life.
Amen.
With an open house and an open refrigerator.
Amen.
And, you know, without a vision, the people perish.
Right.
But with that vision, it just gave meaning to my whole life.
Amen.
Gave meaning to my work life, my family life, and of course my church life.
Amen.
And then the secondly, what I'd like to share is that, you know, going to work and being a wage earner is really a function in the body of Christ.
Right.
I think, you know, we're all so burdened for the Lord's move
That's
to
right.
Europe.
Right.
But that needs finances.
Right.
When I was in Russia for 8 years, I took care of all the accounting and all the distributions, the distributions to all the coworkers there. So I was really impressed how much the money, how much the contributions from the saints matter to the Lord's going on.
Amen.
We've even seen lately that some had to come back. We've had to been cutting back. Mm-hmm. So we really, brothers, have a function in our going to work, right, in our laboring. That's a function in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we have to give for this need.
Amen.
And the Lord's impressed me, conference by conference, just one verse, Third John 8. Third John 8 says,
right,
that we ought to support such ones,
right,
who are spreading the gospel,
amen,
being fellow workers of the truth.
Amen.
So even though we're working, we're fellow workers of the truth. And then lastly, as a practical point, I receive so much help by just listening to the broadcast of the life study messages,
amen,
on my commute to work.
Amen.
I've gone through all the messages of Genesis, all 150 so, and now I'm going through Peter,
right,
and just going in my car, utilizing that time to be in the ministry.
Amen.
The ministry becomes a content for my prayer.
Amen.
No matter what we're in, it just happens to apply to my life,
amen,
what I'm going through at that situation. And then it becomes a content for my fellowship,
amen,
and my shepherding of the younger ones.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, we can all go on together.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, brothers.
Amen.
I just like to testify and just confirm all the fellowship. I really feel like that this speaking is really the Lord's up-to-date burden for his recovery.
Amen.
I, like John, am a little bit further along in the experience of being a working brother in the church life. And, I, for some reason, the Lord had arranged for me to be somewhat of a pioneer. And it's not really in my disposition naturally to be a pioneer, but sovereignly, I was through the Lord's arrangement. You know, after I went from the full-time training, I went back to Irving to serve in a full-time way for 6 years. And I spent most of my time serving there with Brother Raul behind us. And when you talk about the vital groups, well, I have to testify. Of course, a lot of us were there when Brother Lee released the burden related to the vital groups. But, you know, a lot of our situation with our daily life, our work life, our family life, it really causes the vision sometimes to get a little cloudy, you know, or maybe in the midst of all this, the struggle, the vision is not as fresh. But I was really encouraged by all the speaking, and I got the email, and right away listened to Brother Andrew's fellowship. And brothers, I was at work. I had paperwork on my desk, and I had my computer playing the MP3. And I was doing the paperwork, and there was just tears, because it was such a convicting word because of the responsibility that the Lord has given to us. And you really sense in the body that there's such an investment in all of us, you know, through the fact that the Lord provided us the full-time training and all the shepherding and the care that the Lord has put into all of us. All we realize this investment is for the sake of the body.
Amen.
So what I realize is that, you know, if I'm going to be a man, I have to be a Christian.
Amen.
And if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to be an overcomer.
Amen.
And the only way I can be an overcomer is to be a vital, functioning member in the body.
Amen.
And I realize, you know, I have to take care of this vital living. Like John said, it's so good to listen to the MP3s on the computer at work and use that transition time, like Brother Andrew said. Redeem every little bit of time that you have. Because, you know, I work about 60 hours a week, and then I have my three kids, and I have the brothers, and, you know, it's exhausting. But the supply is that time in the morning and the time throughout the day that I can remember to get something of the ministry and get something of the supply by calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Last thing is, I called, some of you might know Rick Gonzalez, and Rick is in Malaga, and he just shared with me, Paul Hahn had traveled through there and visited, and again, was revisiting this matter of the vital group living. And he shared with me over the telephone, and just his fellowship really reinvigorated me and encouraged me. So anyway, I just encourage all of us to keep praying and keep fellowshipping and keep opening to one another, and we'll see the Lord work this out.
Amen.
Organically through the functioning of the body.
Amen.
And so anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, brothers, we just want to take 1 minute to share something. The brothers asked us to share a little bit. But aren't you encouraged?
Amen.
I am so encouraged with all the fellowship.
Amen.
You know, 2 weeks ago, Jimmy Miller and myself, we had the opportunity to go to the Philippines to share with the young working saints there in the Philippines related to this burden of how to enter into a vital living. Of course, we were there not as a model of what it means to be a vital person, but to encourage one another, right? And I have to testify that their response was just tremendous, which really was a confirmation to us that what's happening is really the Lord's moving within us. I think this was really a testimony that this burden and our response to this burden is really the Lord's doing in within each and every one of us. Anyways, I am just so encouraged that we have a way to go on. I think we all can testify that in my experience, you know, I finished a training almost 10 years ago, and I have to say, yes, there's been some progress, but if I'm honest with myself, not enough. And but anyways, we have a way to go on.
Right?
We're doing something about it. And I'm just so thankful that we can have this kind of fellowship where we can encourage one another. And I just would like to echo Philip's fellowship that we need companions. To me, this has been a big, big help. And anyways, we just wanted to encourage you and just kind of let you know that the Lord is moving in the Lord's recovery throughout the whole world. Throughout the whole earth, the Lord is really moving among our generation.
Amen.
You might want to say.
I'd just like to strengthen Juan Carlos's word. You know, when Juan Carlos and I were asked by the brothers to go, we had no idea what the situation with the young saints there was. I'd never been there. Juan Carlos had been there 10 years ago. But we had no idea what the situation there with the young working ones was. So after we had some fellowship with the brothers, they told us the situation there really was almost the same as it is with us here. They're very caught up in their work. They're very distracted by things. So when they, you know, we opened up in the fellowship that it just came out that we were both working brothers, and the other brother who was with us, we were all working brothers. And this, the leading brothers told us that this really touched them, that we weren't coming as full-timers who were the model for what needed to be done, because believe me, brothers, those of you who know me know I am not the model. But we just went as ones who were struggling and striving to take this way, and just opened our heart regarding the fellowship and regarding our experience. And all the brothers, all the leading brothers there told us it was a very sobering, it was a very eye-opening word. They were very touched that this is something that really needs to take place. So, you know, I was just strengthened that the brothers all over the world, the leading brothers, the ones taking the lead today, all have this same burden for our generation.
Amen.
So we should be strengthened and encouraged, brothers.
Amen, brothers.
Amen.
Well, for the sake of time, we could probably go on for a while. But at least for this gathering, we'd like to start to wrap up things. But aren't you encouraged?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for a time of mutual encouragement.
Amen.
We're all pressing on together.
Amen.
And, you know, this isn't a new burden. As Brother Donnie said, it's been going on for several years. Actually, you know, as we contacted the brothers to mention this time, a lot of the response was, yeah, actually, I've been so burdened about the young working saints in my place.
Amen.
So just more recently, it's more just some steps to facilitate how can we encourage and how can we care for the saints in this category. And as a result of, you know, the three fellowships, the brothers put down in writing a little bit what this burden is.
Amen.
In a specific way. This burden is that we would fully enter into the seven vital practices of a consecrated exercise living.
Amen.
In a corporate and accountable way.
Amen.
And also to shepherd others into such a living by establishing definite, concrete waypoints.
Amen.
Until we bear the primary burden of the priestly and Levitical services in the churches for his body.
Amen.
And actually, this burden is not just specific only to the young adults that we would enter into this vital living, but this is really the burden for all the saints. But surely it's worthwhile that we invest some energy with this specific group who's encountering specific obstacles. And a lot has been invested over the years in the children's work, in the young people's work, in even in the campus work. There's been a lot of development. There's the full-time training. And although this is not another work per se, but still, what about as you enter into adulthood and pass from these now, how to practically enter into this vital practice and how to be in the vital groups in our locality?
Amen.
Surely this is worthwhile of our prayer and consideration.
Amen.
So, you know, as we go back, it's not to do a specific work, but mainly just to pray.
Amen.
Our prayer is definitely worthwhile.
Amen.
And to consider specifically the situation and the ones in our place, and just to begin to pray.
Amen.
And I feel like, you know, for myself, I haven't made that much progress in these last few months individually. But, you know, with the with the continued fellowship, I'm encouraged to take some steps. Probably my biggest shortage is not having a definite companion. But at least I am encouraged with some of the brothers in my locality. We're beginning to pray in a weekly way.
Amen.
And out of that prayer, some burdens are coming up. For example, last week, just after our prayer time, some of the brothers were just burdened for our wives. How can our wives enter into that? So as a result of our prayer and fellowship, realize we need to have just a fellowship time with some of the older sisters in our locality, just with our wives. And we'll babysit our kids, let our wives go, and just have some shepherding from these older saints and get the help. So different things can come out of our prayer and our consideration.
Amen.
So I think it should be pretty apparent that the burden for this time is for a special category or a particular category of saints. And that category, as I was considering this last night, is not just the FTT graduates. And that category is actually not just this loosely defined category of working saints. But the category that this fellowship is really targeted at are the spiritually dissatisfied. This word, this fellowship, is for those who are dissatisfied with their current situation. And the verse that came to mind last night is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. And I looked, and there came a storm wind from the north, a great cloud and a fire flashing incessantly. And there was a brightness around it, and from the midst of it there was something like the sight of electrum from the midst of the fire. I will not expound this verse, but just read one footnote. From the north means from God. Whenever God visits us and revives us, his spirit blows on us like a mighty wind.
Amen.
To bring a spiritual storm into our life,
Amen.
Into our work, and into our church,
Amen.
Causing us to be dissatisfied and concerned about our spiritual condition. And to have a turn in our spiritual life. This is footnote 4:2, Ezekiel 1:4. And I think this is the feeling that is within many of us. A storm wind has been blowing, and it is causing us to be dissatisfied with our work, our life, and our church. And this storm is, this wind is from the north. This is from God. It is a positive storm. But it is causing us to be desperate. And then to read the part of the next footnote. There is a cloud following the wind. The cloud is a figure of God as the Spirit abiding with his people and covering them in order to care for them and show favor to them. God comes to us as the wind, but he stays with us as the cloud. Together, the wind and the cloud are an indication that an important transaction is about to take place between God and man. So that's my feeling, that an important transaction is about to take place between God and man. The wind has blown to us. Where are we now? The cloud is hovering over us. It is not that clear. The fire is there. Brother Ed spoke of the fire yesterday. I believe the fire is within us. And it is burning us. It is purifying us. It is purging us. Eventually, the fire will motivate us so that we become those who know their God and show strength and take action. But at this stage, I believe there is a wind blowing and there is a cloud that is coming upon us in many places. So this is our condition. The Lord is causing us to be dissatisfied where we are. And so we come together in this state of dissatisfaction, not having the answers and not presenting any clean, simple answers. We don't leave with 1, 2, 3. But like the brother said, we leave with a burden that we need much prayer.
Amen.
Like Brother Ron concluded, this word needs to be followed by much prayer.
Amen.
Much prayer locally, much prayer personally, and then much fellowship. What we are doing here is not a movement, but we believe it is the move of the Lord.
Amen.
We have no program in mind, per se. We have no timeline. There is no business plan. There is no acronym for this. We are just open to the Lord.
Amen.
And we encourage everyone, wherever you are, to go and to pray. We can speak of this in a macro sense. Macro. Generationally, we are looking for a turn. But at a more micro level, we're looking for something in localities, in regions. And then even at a more fine-tuned level, there is a personal need. If there is a macro level, the word may be commission. At a micro level, we may say companions. But at a personal level, there is a need for a commitment. So this is where we are. This is how we close this time. Sorry, there's no simple steps, except that we need to pray.
Amen.
We need to fellowship.
Amen.
And I know there are many saints here who have some burden to speak. And if we had the time, we'd like to just open it up for another hour. But we know there are planes to catch and long drives to make. So we're just going to conclude with some prayer. And then we hope there can be a lot of fellowship. This is a work in progress. We are advancing and on the way.
Amen.
And we hope that in the coming months we will continue to keep in touch.
Amen.
Then one last practical point. There has been some fellowship about a website, developing the livingtohim.com website. And actually I see now there are two brothers here, Patrick Chang and John Peng, who have volunteered to help us with this. And this is not to put you on the spot, brothers, but that to say that we need help. Okay, the move that takes place in your localities, that is very organic, and that can be birthed by prayer. But to start a website, you cannot just gather around and pray. You need a skill set. You need some experience. So if you have some burden to help develop something, that will be a tool for those who care to make use of it. Then please contact some of us or some of these brothers I just mentioned. If you have the right skill set, the right experience, that would be a help.
Amen.
How about we just close this time with some prayer? How about let's pray with our neighbors first, just for a minute, and then let's have some corporate prayer. Maybe you can stand up and just pray for the entire group of brothers here.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy on us.
Amen.
Thank you for the privilege of hearing these things.
Amen.
But we just sense that you care about us.
Amen.
And you care for your interests.
Amen.
But we receive this burden.
Amen.
Take us all on, Lord.
Amen.
Concerning you.
Amen.
Concerning us.
Amen.
Lord, we just take this word.
Amen.
The experience of all of us.
Yes. Amen.
Let you go on.
Amen.
Have more progress.
Amen.
More advancement.
Amen.
Lord, for your interest.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen.
Right, Lord, we're for your interest.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We consecrate ourselves to you.
Amen.
We consecrate our generation to you.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be useful to you.
Amen.
We want to be able to bear your recovery.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we want to move with you.
Amen.
Thank you, you're moving in us.
Amen.
Strengthen us.
Amen.
Give us the way.
Amen.
Give us a clear sky.
Amen.
To live under your throne.
Amen.
Lord, bring us on.
Amen.
Personally and corporately.
Amen.
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 Well, praise the Lord, brothers. We just conclude here, and there was an audio recording of this time. And so if you would like this time and you sign the sheet, then we will send you the audio recording. We also like to just encourage, we do have a website, livingtohim.com, where we are posting the recordings of the fellowship just for the benefit of all the saints. And we just encourage you to listen to those messages if you haven't had the chance. Several of us, brothers, will remain here maybe for another 10 minutes if there is any questions or...